Happy Bicycle Day.
What do you mean?
Bicycle Day.
Oh, I didn't know it was Bicycle Day.
Yeah.
I was on my bike this morning, so it
yeah, you
works.
were.
I didn't even know it was
Riding your
Bicycle Day.
bike through the wild hills.
Yeah. The Moyle Hills.
The oil hills sounds like a bad trip.
Sure.
Bicycle Day is the day where so acid was discovered a couple years before that, but someone basically, the rumor story is they had a lab accident and discovered that acid was like a psychedelic thing you could actually take and trip off of. But he did it while he was like riding a bike home from his lab, and that's where the trip started. So it's like the first LSD trip. So April 19th, 1943, I want to say.
The resident druggie Dan would know this.
Is. I think so. 1943. Don't sleep on your boy.
Yeah, he knows his drugs, but he doesn't know his music dates, so you know his priorities are straight.
Something about me's gotta be.
Hello, humans, and welcome to Audio Face. We are an irreverent podcast about music, news, and culture that mostly matters. I am Sean.
I'm Dan.
This is episode 138. We have a few albums for you guys. We have Earth album by EOB, also known as Ed O'Brien.
Also known as one of the guitarists of Radiohead.
I wouldn't just say guitarist, multi-instrument males of Radiohead.
One of the radio dudes.
Yes. The Dawn of Diamond Dreams by Shabazz Palace. And we have The Fun Ones by RJD2.
We also have a really detailed and introspective look on the Baby's Blame It on Baby. So you don't have to. We're actually going to play an interesting new game on Audio Face that I'm going to introduce to Sean in the moment. And it's going to be part of what we'd like to call, you know, all the times are changing because things are happening. And so we'd like to offer you No Chill Island 15 Junior Delivery. Because in these times, we want you to be safe and still give us money. But we don't take money from you because that's Audio Face. Anyways, it should be a really fun time for all of us involved. It'll be fun. You'll enjoy it.
Okay. So over the week, Bishop Nauru and Doom released a single, but we don't give a fuck, so let's move on.
Bishop Nauru is going to release an album soon, so I'm kind of done giving him extra airtime. Although we do kind of like him. This is why we have the rule. Same reason for the 1975.
Yeah. Don't talk to me about that yet.
So we're gonna
right into the music. So we have Earth by EOB or Ed O'Brien. 9 songs, 46 minutes long. This is his first solo album, solo project, under the synonym of EOB. One interesting note I have to say right before we go over this is I noticed that it's under Capitol Records.
Yeah.
Which is interesting because XL does Radiohead, Tom York does XL, and Adam Serpice does XL. All the other projects and stuff. Johnny's a little different because soundtracks are a little different for it because of music movie producers. But I was surprised to see Capitol Records for Ed to see him do that on this album. So I wonder why him decided to do that, or his agent, whatever. So it's interesting to see that. But anyways,
probably into the music. Money.
Probably. Freedom, whatever. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
I just thought it was an interesting point. I'm like, oh, cool. I didn't see XL on there. Okay. Anyways, so it starts off with Shangri-La, which is a nice little opening track for the album. It kind of sets the mood, the tone. He's very, very talented as a musician. If you haven't listened to Radiohead, he does a lot of behind-the-scenes work that you guys don't even realize is Ed going on it, because a lot of the primary guitar work and stuff on certain songs is Ed playing it. You just don't notice it because you usually hear Tom and Johnny kind of overdoing it because their sounds are very powerful. But Ed in the background does a lot of shit that people don't know. Shangri-La it's a nice little 5-minute track to get it set you in the mood. You really starts to sound out his vocals, which is a prominent theme throughout the album. I really like it as opening track. You have Brazil, which is long as fuck. It's 8 minutes and 30 seconds, but it's two songs in one.
Yeah,
the opening track, which is like an acoustic kind of piece where it reminds me of Give Up the Ghost from The King of Limbs, because it has little birds chirping in the background and stuff. It's really peaceful and calm. And then it turns into this funk groove masterpiece that like about a third of the way in, maybe about 2-3 minutes in, it just switches and it turns into this beautiful electronic bass heavy dance beat. I'm like, what the fuck, Ed? I love this.
Yeah.
It's super random and I love it.
It's really interesting because like Brazil, it sort of starts in more from this like really somber acoustic thing, and this album is really acoustic in its design. And you can kind of see, it's interesting hearing all the solo projects of the Radiohead gents, because they sort of, you can hear almost like the puzzle pieces as they sound apart. And they all have their own different sounds, but you can also see like, oh, this is like kind of like Radiohead, but in this way. And it's always been like very, very clear with Thom Yorke, of course, but like, with Johnny Greenwood, seeing it sort of just in the overall construction of things. EOB here, just kind of with those little touches here and there that make it really characteristic. But of course, I'd definitely say EOB is more acoustic in that way. But yeah, like you were saying with Brazil, it morphs from this really somber acoustic ballad to like this still kind of melancholy to me, down tempo dance track, but still like really, really fun.
Yeah.
With these like really backing chimes that make this melody out there really cool.
The last, Deep Days, Long Time Coming, they're also good tracks. That's more of the acoustic stuff as well coming into it. You have some, but he, it's interesting to hear his sound, because there are some tracks where his vocals are super powerful. And I've always said this as a giant Radiohead fan, I like Ed's vocals way much more than Thom Yorke's. And I've been wanting Radiohead to really use his vocals more, like Muse does this sometimes, where they switch back and forth between singers occasionally. Or I want him to be more prevalent in it, or have songs where it's Ed as the main vocalist, Thom backing up, which I don't know how that would work out, but I think there's songs and stuff that they could start doing that too, because they're so, you can really use his voice, because especially in this album, you can hear just how good it is.
Yeah.
It's so refined, it's beautiful to hear, and it's very versatile, which is something that, I know his range is very high and it's gorgeous, but I didn't realize that, and there's a lot of different beats and songs that he can do within his voice, within his vocal range, which I haven't really heard from him before. He can go into acoustic, he can go into some of his songs over here and are electronic, so he can go into that and exploit that as well. And there's a lot to pick out from. There's some songs on here where I'm like, this can deadass be on Hail the Thief, and I love that shit. Like,
okay, Banksters. Banksters. Like, it literally sounds like it could have been like a go to sleep B side.
Exactly.
I love it so
much. That's why I was like, Deep Days, All Time Coming, Mass. I really like those songs, but I just want to get to Banksters. That song goes hard. That and Brazil are my two favorites on the album.
Me too.
And then Sail On, which I was like, ooh, what was it? Sail the Moon. Sail On's good. Olympic is another song where it's two songs into one, where it's like Brazil. And again, like that second half, it goes into more electronic style of music, and I really, really like it. I knew he was good at doing electronic stuff, because if you see him live on Radiohead, he does a lot of that stuff on it. Like Everything in His Right Place, he would just sit down on the ground and just mess with electronics and do a lot of beats and stuff. Or video.
Yeah, and usually in the Radiohead story, like Johnny Greenwood's the one doing a lot of that sometimes.
Which he does, but it's cool to see like how much Ed does it as well, but it's very different in a way.
Yeah.
And I like it because it's subtle, but the detailing in it is very refined. It's particular, but it's good in that it's unique. It's a very unique album, but it's good. I've very enjoyed it. I didn't really know what to expect going into it. But yeah, I like it a lot. I think Radiohead fans will definitely enjoy it. I think fans of just like especially acoustic music would like it, and fans of certain alternative. I think some people will find it a little too slow depending on it, or a little long. But if you like REM or something like that, you'd probably end up enjoying this. but fantastic first solo effort from Ed. Like, really good job.
Do you have any speculation as to why it took this long for him to do a solo effort?
Well, because he did stuff with other bands, I'm pretty sure. He did, like, with other projects, not under EOB, but he's released music and stuff before, but not as it just being himself. So I know he wanted to do it when Radiohead were taking a break, and I know he has a family too, so he's raising a family and stuff as well. So,
well, they all
Tom, I don't know how the fuck Tom has kids. Like, that dude's always on tour. Johnny does it where, because of soundtracks, he can stay home. Phil and Colin, I know Phil's done a solo album maybe in 2015, I like to say. And Colin, I don't think Colin's done anything solo work. Wise.
Yeah, that's fair. Just like they all do it sort of when they're ready.
Yeah, exactly. And it took a while for Ed to do it, but I know he was talking about this for years and years, and he's had a bunch of different music and stuff he's done, pulled out through other bands and stuff as well, not just through Radiohead. But I'm glad it took a little time to do it, because it's a fantastic effort. It's very, very well done.
Yeah.
I need to see like producer credits and stuff too. I need to look that up and see all of that as well, because I'm interested to see in it. Because the sound production, the quality of it is second to none. It's very good.
Yes. We are going to be reviewing a decent amount of albums this week. Like you said, we have Shabazz Palace, RJD2, and DaBaby's album, which we talked about a lot. So that's going to be really fun. But to rank all of those, we're going to be using an arbitrary scale of Homestar Runner characters, which we will explain at the end of the podcast, because we are going to need that little palate cleanser.
Yes.
Anyways, Homestar Runner, the... if you know, like, Flash cartoon from the early 2000s. I'm going to say this is... I'm going to say this is The Cheat.
Damn it, that's what I was going to say. I'm like, what was that stupid name? It's The Cheat,
Strong Bad's pet.
Strong Bad's pet, the yellow cat thing.
Yeah,
looking thing.
That's made, like, music videos.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's it.
Kind of a boss, technically, like, kind of smarter than everyone. Really good, but sort of like that's the aspect of his character. He's like really understated and no one knows. Like he's kind of like almost the ringmaster.
Yeah, exactly. So this is, to me, for Ed, it's great to see a solo effort and be like, hey, this is his own work, because obviously we see Tom and Johnny's work and it's fucking amazing. It's some of the best music out there, but it's great to see Ed doing it. We're like, holy shit, man. This is why they're the best band on earth, because each one individually as musicians are ridiculously good, ridiculously talented.
A very good band. I don't like using the best.
Okay,
well, this is his opinion, not mine.
They are the hands down the best. Like, it's just you can't do my opinion on that. So that's why I don't like, that's why I don't talk about them much. I try not to.
Shit.
But again, we said
him on audio face. Okay.
Yes. Exactly. That was the joke.
Anyways.
Oh God, I was about to get bleeped.
We're not doing this in the later segment because we have a contrast, and I think there's a really important point to be made about.
Oh, there's a big ass point to be made for this.
But Kanye West says
everybody's favorite rapper.
Well, he kind of implies that he's going to be voting for Trump in 2020.
You don't say.
He doesn't really say it. He says, "quote I'm not going to be told by the people around me." And the people that have had their agenda that my career is going to be over. But guess what? Jesus is King is number one. He also said, I'm definitely voting this time, and we know who I'm voting on.
Lord.
Also, there's one really sad note that I want to add here for those folks who are still like kind of apologizing for Kanye West just because they're, I guess, Christians now, too. Meet me in the Jesus stall hashtag, but George W. he looked back on his quote where he was talking about George W. Bush doesn't care about black people, which was like a really bold statement to make during a telethon that happened for Hurricane Katrina, our last economic disaster that exposed the weaknesses of capitalism that we decided to ignore because a bunch of black people got hurt. He looked back on those statements and he ended up saying that George W. Bush doesn't care about black people was a victim statement. The white person didn't do something for us. That is stemmed in victim mentality. Every day I have to look in the mirror like I'm Robert De Niro and tell myself, you are not a slave. As outspoken as I am and the position I'm in, I need to tell myself.
And the reason why, I would say, but The best thing of that is that he's riding Trump's nutsack hard, but he said, the reason why he's taking Trump, I buy real estate. It's better now than when Obama was in office. So deep down, you're just a fucking Republican. You're just a...
Fiscally conservative, socially conservative?
Yeah, just... I don't like talking about Kanye. He's progressively getting stupider and stupider. So, he probably got held back in sixth grade 45 times.
To segue, I'll provide the segue and then you can explain the story. But like, there's something, the point we were talking about that we wanted to make in the beginning was that there's something you can do with your platform and your fame to kind of think outside of yourself for fucking once ever. And so, like you were saying in the story.
Well, Cardi B interviews Bernie Sanders about coronavirus healthcare. And
It's interesting. Cardi B used her platform to the day or like one of the days after Bernie Sanders dropped out of the presidential
to talk about race. His campaign and then talk about a bunch of different political stuff, opinions, this and that, which is one way to use your platform for actually having a conversation about genuine policy stuff instead of just being. I don't know how many drugs Kanye's on and just spouting random shit that people are like, oh, he's a genius.
About 200,000 people were watching it at its peak.
Shit, that's good.
So like, it's a really interesting thing to do. And it's like, basically Kanye just became a capitalist and Jay-Z became a capitalist, but then he released the story of OJ. So he's like, you can definitely criticize a lot of his decisions now that he's like gone NFL. Full mogul,
yes.
NFL title. But you have to say that like he's still kind of trying to take the same approach and say like, yeah, black people don't have to be victims.
I call him Lord Jay-Z. He's been knighted by the capitalist society.
No, he's been he's been honorarily induced into Skull and Bones. But that is kind of to say that like you can do something good with your platform and not be a total asshole.
Yes, exactly. That's the one thing with Kanye that drives me fucking crazy is that. But you know, that's why I try not to pay attention to him because he's off his tits.
This has been your last exit before Hell World.
Yeah, really. Anyways, second album, we have The Dawn of Diamond Dreams by Shabazz Palaces. It's 10 songs, 42 minutes long. I've never heard of him before.
Shabazz Palaces, it's like this duo. It's like a producer rapper duo, sort of like, you know, there are a lot of producer rapper duos.
I wouldn't even call it rap per se, because there's a couple songs in here that are rap, like Chocolate Souffle is rap, and that song goes fucking hard, but I'll get to that in a second. The rest of it feels just, it's very different. It's strange. I feel like I'm in a warehouse listening to this. like, and it's not a bad thing. But it's like, as in the production of the album, I feel like I'm sitting by myself in a warehouse, like raving, but I'm in a rave in a warehouse by myself. It's how this album feels, if that kind of makes sense for like a genuine like production of the album. It's hard to explain it. Because like the main thing is the vocals, because the vocal tracking on it, they dub it and it feels like it's echoing the entire album. And it drove me crazy because after a while I'm like, yo, like it's cool for once, like Adventures. Well, actually, the title of the song is pretty cool because he uses it lyrically and stuff. Like the lyrics of it is really cool.
The album really quickly just to say that it has these two like sort of separator tracks, Portal North and Portal South. That like kind of start the album. Well, Portal North starts the album and then Portal South is in the middle.
Yes.
But like after that is Adventure, so as you were saying.
Yeah, it's a really good track because the bass line in it is fantastic. And I'll say that throughout the entire album, the bass work, whoever plays bass, fucking amazing. Really like the bass work in this. The production, like the musicality of it's fantastic. The vocals drive me fucking insane because of the dubbing, because of the effects that go on it, because it gives me a headache after a while because it just feels like it's going all around and stuff, which is cool for a song or two, but not for like an entire album because you just gets tired after a while.
Maybe that was trying to be like the dream motif, but like maybe it just went too far.
Yeah, exactly.
I felt like I noticed something too, but like it just kind of felt... I guess I just didn't know what to put it, but that sounds about right.
Yeah, so that's why I was saying it feels like, because it feels like I'm a warehouse because of the echoing style of it, and it feels in, like the music feels industrial almost because of the stylistic of it. Yeah. Fast Learner with Purple Tape Nate, no idea who the hell that is. Is good. I like it. Wet, I didn't really like that much because that's kind of like a. I was, had the drum and stuff on it, didn't like too much.
It's almost like the trap kind of like version of what this is trying to be.
Yeah.
Well, like it wasn't like a trap song, but it's just like in the same level of like kind of. It could be much better. You could try.
Yeah, exactly. So they very fell flat.
And even the vocals also kind of felt like literally trying to trap it. Like it was like mimicking some of those flows
exactly.
in a way. So it was like a dreamy version of it. But like I just didn't like it.
Fell flat.
Idea.
But the nice thing was after that, Chocolate Souffle, which is a very good song.
Yeah.
I like it a lot. The vocals, they didn't do the dubbing really on that song. So I was like, oh my God, I got a normal, like, I wouldn't say normal, but I have a normal vocals in my ears. And the rest of the musicality of it's fun. It's you can move to it, you can bob to it, you can do a lot, and that song is fantastic. So I think if the rest of the album went in that approach of making the vocals maybe a little bit easier to understand, such not dubbing it so much that it was distracting from the rest of the musicality, I would like the album a bit more. But the production's fantastic.
Other yeah.
than that, like the all the songs went together very well, even though it was crazy. You had Bad Bitch walking out after Portal.
I love that song.
I was at Portal really South. I like that song a lot as well. Stas the Boss. I have no idea who these people are. It's hilarious. It's fun. That's a really good track. Again, that one, the vocals are, you can understand a little bit more. The feature on it, you can hear it. It's goes well along with it as well. Money Yoga, Thinking the Girls are good. Thinking the Girls was okay. And Reg Walks by
Looking Glass. Was like this long, jazzy kind of
yeah,
song.
I would say
it was pretty nice for like a certain vibe and a certain mood.
Exactly.
It was a nice like album ender, but it just kind of
feels
almost
flat.
Slightly out of place for this.
It felt flat in that regard for the ending of this album because of how out there and different it was to where you just randomly put like a jazz theme into it. But I mean, I don't mind it. So as a standalone track, it's good, but I wish they ended it on maybe something else. So maybe if they put that and then had Money Yoga instead as the ending track, I think it would end the album a little bit better. But,
I can point out that the producer from this is one of the people from Digital Planet.
Oh.
So that's kind of that sort of influence, but it's sort
that
of interesting.
That makes sense.
They've been around in 2009, or like I know, because I was reading about them a little bit before, that they have... made stuff before, but it's definitely been a while. And yeah, this is interesting enough, I guess, different, but yeah, a lot of things just kind of felt sort of bland, especially compared to other stuff that has throwbacks to old things we could talk about later. Is it DaBaby's album or is it RJD2? That's the kind of mystery of Audioface.
So for this is
Marzipan. Okay, so like kind of mediocre, but still like fine.
Exactly. That's the point.
I'll give this a Coach Z.
Coach said.
Coach Z.
I like it.
Yeah.
Shit. Coach said. That's hilarious.
Okay.
So Ticketmaster, they quietly changed their refund policy in wake of everybody dying. So the platform they'll only offer refunds for canceled events, which makes sense in a way because because there's so much postponements and stuff. Like example, I have concert tickets that are postponed. That's fine. You don't have to refund me. If they cancel it, then yeah, I want my full refund. That's fine. But I don't find it too bad for that because
yeah. So here's the thing: if the event is moved and maybe say you made plans to like go somewhere, mm-hmm. they won't refund you for that. At least they wouldn't do that originally. They updated their policy to say that because they got a lot of flack for this.
I bet.
Ticket holders will have 30 days after the postponement of their event, so I'm assuming they get like an email about it.
Yeah.
To ask for either a refund or 150% credit. Otherwise, the ticket will be transferred to the new event.
Okay, that makes sense.
So it's like,
that's fine. That's fair because it gives you enough time to say, okay, how is my situation? How am I doing financially? Can I still travel to this venue if it's not if it's outside of your realm and everything? And be like, okay, if you're still like working right now, as some people are, then you're like, okay, cool, I'm fine. I don't give a fuck. Or if you're like, no, I gotta make sure I'm fiscally responsible, tighten it up, and then you can say not. So it's fine. All right, good job, Ticketmaster, for once.
Yeah, I mean, it's like a. They had pressure, and so they changed under pressure. So good job the people who put them under pressure.
The fun ones with RJD2. Well, I don't know if I, for some reason I said that my mind just like got confused.
because R2-D2.
Because I want to deadass want to say R2-D2, but RJD2, and I'm like, did I? Okay.
You nailed it, Sean.
Yeah, that name will mess me up a lot.
You nailed it, Sean. Good job.
Anyways, it's 14 songs, 54 minutes long. It's interesting. There's a lot in this album, mainly because it's relatively long with 14 songs, and each song is, you know, about 3.5. I'd say average is 3.5 minutes.
I first started to hear about RJD2 from playing video games and listening to Pandora and having different songs like Smoke and Mirrors and mm-hmm. Ghostwater and Shot in the Dark just like playing in the background, going like, these are like jazz beats kind of looped, almost like you would in rap and like hip hop back in the 90s, but done in like an inventive way, constructed almost like dance music. Almost in the vein of like Fatboy Slim in that way, but like definitely a little bit more, significantly more mellow.
Yeah, no, that's because that was the one thing I was going to say with the album, because the first five songs, Indoor S'mores, such a funny name. 20 Grand Palace, One of a Kind, High Streets and Over Die. Those about five songs are super, super mellow.
Yeah.
Like it starts off like that. It has that, as you said, that jazz beat, especially, I know.
That's how RJD2
is. Yeah, and Indoor S'mores, that jazz beat with a bit of fun drums, some like 90s hip hop bass in the background, stuff like that. It's cool. And it's, for instrumentals and stuff, it's really nice to have it. I really, really like Pull Up on Love.
Go ahead.
It's definitely my favorite song on the album. Energy's electric like the boogaloo. Don't hit the breaker, we breaking like breaking one and two. You know we're shaking like bacon, we going ham, ooh. We off the Casamigos and the culture too. Walking like I talking, bad bitches only. Smooth as baby face, I came up on a tenderoni. She told her mom about me, I let her meet all the homies. It's a live broadcast, the characters like the Tonys. We bubbling hot baloney, we kissing like we the only motherfuckers in the club tonight. Can't leave you lonely, there's some wolves in this bitch. Trying to be a player, but there's rules to this shit. Better check the records, I'm a fool. Ain't no with bitch in my blood. I'ma make yeah. It took me a while to get into it because of the instrumentation, because I don't know him that well. Like, I know it relatively well, but then going into it, I'm like, okay, like, I'd have to really be in a mood to just chill, sit back, and listen to this, and I think I'd appreciate it more.
Yeah.
Within that. And then you got Pull Up on Love, I'm like, fuck, that's good. With STS and Kari Mateen. Yeah, that's a fantastic song. That's fun. The beat, you can groove to it, you can bob to it, you can yell at people on it. Like it's one of those songs that's very versatile, and I love that in it. So
I almost stopped you earlier because the one of the songs I really liked was 20 Grand Palace.
Palace is good too.
In addition to being like a really fun song. Kind of, I think, in the middle of all of that. What I like about it is the album is interspersed with little, like, kind of reflections that I think RJD2 is having about his, like, music career. His sound has, like, made it and proliferated in a lot of different ways throughout music here and there, even though he's not the most well-known artist. And he's kind of like talking about that, but he's also talking about like how music just kind of came to him and it was something that he really worked himself towards, and that he was in the right place in the right time and happened to get the success that he had and build it the way he could. Yeah, kind of back in 2002 when the internet was like just coming up and he was sending tapes to NPR stations.
You know what it reminds me of? It's when how MF Doom, I forget what track it is, but he goes that old jazz standard. And it's like do 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 do. Whatever.
Money folder.
There we go. And it has like that little random break in the middle of it.
Yeah.
That jazz beat. That's what that first four songs reminded me of a lot. Was just that.
Yeah.
Because it's chill. Like it has a little hints of a little bit of electronic in it for it, but it's different in that regard. Let's see. Where was it? I was on Pull Up on Love.
Yeah.
The features in the album I do like, actually.
Very few features.
There's very few. You only have four tracks with them. But you can tell they have influence on the sound of the songs because they're very different than just RJD2's specific songs that he did himself. But it doesn't detract from the album, because that's one complaint I usually have a lot of times with a lot of features, is that usually they'll put too much of their voice in it and it's like sticks out like a black sheep in a family of music. But all of the features in it actually go along within the kind of the chill mode, even though some of the songs aren't necessarily that, which is quite difficult to do considering the sound, because it's very easy to just throw it on and be like, no, that's just it doesn't work within the flow of the album.
Yeah,
because even like Pull Up on Love is so different of a track to the rest of the album, but the theme of it, the production of everything, it still sticks to it, to where you can put on shuffle and you can feel the vibe of the album in it, which is I appreciate a lot with that. It's quite difficult to do.
There's some like really nice, like it's very nostalgic in this way that's kind of subtle. The Freshman Letters is a song that kind of sounds, at one point the bass line has the original part of Ronnie Foster's Mystic Brew, which is also the sample for Electric Relaxation for A Tribe Called Quest.
Yeah.
That little bass line. It has like the first couple of notes for it, and it just like really feels nice every time I listen to it. I really enjoy that kind of homage thing because it is a very reflective album. But yeah, it does feel like it doesn't have like a straight balance through when you're going through the whole thing, when you're playing it through. I can say that.
Yeah. It's good though. It's different. I like it for sure. Going in, it's cool because this is the first time in a while going into Audio Face where there's two albums I've never heard of the person before. And I'm like, I don't know what to expect.
Oh, really? I totally thought you knew about RJD2.
Mm-mm.
Yeah.
I like, okay, I've heard of him. I've heard of songs from him and stuff, but I didn't really know him that well.
Yeah.
To where last time I've heard RJD2 was maybe in high school, so 7 years ago.
Yeah, it's definitely like been that. A minute. But exactly. Every once in a while, like as a palate cleanser song, I'll go back to Dead Ringer, the first album.
Dead Ringer, yeah. Because that's the only album I know of him.
That is like the album I know best, but I have like listened to things like throughout. It's a long history of albums.
Okay, because
like
that's the only thing I know from him.
If we did a retrospective, it would take like 9 years.
Okay, gotcha. It's like Beck, where you're like, okay, bud, like you've done way too much music.
No. Yeah. Beck would be like doing a Disclosure one, which is like there's two albums. It's pretty tight. There's a couple EPs floating around, but it's like really tight. No, this is like. Dead Mouse, if you included every single mix
he's
ever done.
Holy shit, that's
and every single like side project.
Just like, dude, I haven't heard of this track before. But yeah.
Anyways, almost like speaking of Homestar Runner characters, we'll get to that story a little bit later. But I would give this album the Bubs.
Bubs?
Yeah, okay. A little out of place, but definitely an old head.
Bubs, he's the one that like he looks like this, right?
Yeah, he has the stand.
Damn it. Fuck, why do we keep doing the same ones? That's hilarious. Because I'm like, whatever the one that looks like he's buff as shit and he goes down like that.
Yeah.
Okay, there you go.
Okay. This is No Chill Island 15 Junior Delivery Edition. Because you can be a Whopper Patriot or whatever that Burger King commercial is.
Oh God, I was like, already, dude? I'm like, yo.
Okay, so we don't have a real like full no chill island to do today. We just have a couple of things to address. Number one is Blueface being Blueface. No Chill Island, for those who are new to the podcast, I'm sorry. It is a segment we do from time to time where it's a little bit of a game where we play with the social norms and what is politically correct and what is good to say. Whoever first gets bleeped loses.
And then whenever this person gets bleeped, that's when it's just like...
Dan's broken.
Every bleep is just thrown out there. It is beautiful.
Yeah.
Sometimes we just cut like 10 minutes off, so you never know what we said.
Yeah. It's just fun for me editing and for his conscience. So.
Yeah. This one's going to be horrible.
So, everyone's favorite.
Bless me, Father, for high I've sinned.
Everyone's favorite number one best in the rapper game, Market Unlock, Blueface. He is spending the lockdown.
Government mandated lockdown.
Especially in California, where you're supposed to stay at home and not go anywhere. Inviting exotic dancers to come over to his house and to basically do Thunderdome to fight to have sex with him.
Pretty much.
And I wish I were joking. I wish this was just this is the world we live in now. So there's a fairly normal hot new hip hop report that it's not mean enough. And so we're going to enhance this report on here on Audio Face. So basically in the first video, we're not going to go through the full thing because we'll just get banned on Instagram. But like it's just, and there's plenty of this on Instagram anyways if you just look hard enough. There's all these like basically dancers dancing and twerking. He's playing Duck Duck Goose while they're twerking on his lawn. He has a blue Thomas Jefferson painted in his lawn.
Benjamin Franklin.
Anyways, the...
I want to say things so bad, but I'll lose. I'll lose in 10 seconds just for this line that is said right here. That's going to be bleeped. I already know it.
We're going to get there. So basically it starts with this clip here. And they're breaking up a fight. This is from his Instagram story, by the way. And his friends are just like kind of trying to break up this fight that's going on. Earlier in the video, they were like all in his apartment or like his one of his rooms, and they were like fighting on the dresser and everything. Some of them were trying to get his attention by twerking, and other ones were just like, yeah, just fighting. And then it escalated in that moment we just saw there, where someone gets their whole done do ripped off,
ripped off hair, just boop, wig gone.
Yeah. Someone pointed out on Twitter how the person who does it just like hides behind Blueface while that's happening. Meanwhile, Blueface, you want to know what happens while this whole like completely misogynistic, ridiculous, dangerous thing is. Oh, sorry, it's not dangerous. Everyone's wearing a mask except for the dudes. So like it's this completely misogynistic scofflaw at the whole idea of this really like dangerous pandemic that's going on, and he's just kind of laughing and going around and is going like, what's going on? And then comes the part that Sean's talking about.
They going to the pussy. Fuck it. Everybody get naked. Let's see who pussy the best. No? Y'all like that idea?
All right, fuck it. This is why we don't like most trap artists.
It's not even he's a trap artist. It's like, no one really likes him. No, like, yeah, we all agree he's terrible. Like, unlike Tekashi 6ix9ine, where there's actually some, like, little...
People who like him.
Unlike Lil Pump, where there's actually some people who are, like, kind of here and there about him. Like,
Stop giving these people money. They don't need any more money. Their cages are fine how it is. They don't need... You just stop giving these people this stupid attention and wealth, because... Or else ignorance is going to keep going. Because he said... Later, he clarified that the girls are not fighting over him, but that a combination of Henny and attitude had caused the commotion. Attitude. That's a strong word to use.
That's a strong word to use for a bunch of women you just invited over to break quarantine to basically... to be fair, they were filming a music video.
Oh, yeah, exactly. I'm the sure entire was thing great. Was they were just going to film some raunchy-ass, dumb-ass music video, so that way you just see him throwing hundreds on some girl's ass and make a couple mil from that, because that's the society we live in, and his dumbassery 101, and here's where Sean gets bleeped. Nope, not yet.
The girl whose entire weave was ripped off, basically.
First off, that shit was kind of funny. Second off,
she went to twitter.com.
You can say this is the best part.
And tweeted, and what I'll put conveniently on screen here, but I'll read now. Y'all, Blueface invited me to his video shoot, and this girl had the nerve to say, quote, "Leave you ugly dark-skinned bitch. You bald because you dark-skinned, you ugly bitch. Yo, kick this black hoe out, all for no reason." After black hoe out, end quote. All for no reason. What is this bullshit occurring in 2020? Mind you, I was attacked because I wasn't fighting, and the girl who snatched my hair to prove I was bald came up saying I was a, quote, thirsty and a hoe for talking to Blueface while everybody fighting, end quote. These bitches are insane. All in all, I'm glad to know I wasn't there using my one public outing during quarantine to fight random bitches I don't know and argue over who's the baddest bitch over who got the best pussy. Like, do you hear yourselves? Wake up.
First off, they all probably got, like, STDs of some sort, like 1,000%. Second off.
Clap on. Clap off. Clap on. Clap off.
The All right, Dan lost. So here we go. All right, we're going in, baby. So this kid, you just spend it all on Henny, a little attitude. Well, yeah, your attitude. That's what happens when you put a bunch of dumbass. Oh God.
I'll put it like this. Like when I was going through these stories, as this kind of happening on Instagram, I noticed as also happening at the same time where there are these news reports coming out where in Huntington Beach, there are all these people protesting the fact that they couldn't go into Baskin Robbins without wearing a mask and saying that we need to reopen the government. It doesn't matter if some people die, it's less than the flu. And most importantly, we need to make sure the economy is going. So it doesn't matter if we need to put bodies on the gears of the machine. Capitalist needs to still keep fucking running. All while they're wearing masks and calling the virus a hoax.
The irony of that.
Blueface is the rapper America fucking deserves. All right? People are fucking dying. And they're going broke and hungry and losing their livelihoods while we have this like mediocre bullshit ass going on here. And you know what? Another thing? Blueface having all these like women around, it's a total head fake. Blueface is so fucking gay. That's why I started with that original thing. He's probably having all those girls around to hide the fact that when he's not around, all those dudes stay around him so he can ride that through his bunny hole. Like, all he does is dance around and twirl that shit like a fucking porn star.
He's got two cocks and he's got three cocks, six hands. Like, he's like in Silicon Valley where he's just doing the math of how many cocks he can do to get him off the best way.
But he can't do math. He probably sucks off garbage drivers saying, "Thank you for your service."
2 + 2 equals Hennessy?
Oh my God, what a fucking
I hate this shit so much because this Blueface
Blueface needs to blow a sword.
Blueface needs to go blue bald and just get castrated so that way he knows what it feels like. Anyways, but this as in a social way, this is terrible for the African American culture because it brings African Americans like
No. Like, I'm gonna stop right there. Like the culture is not gonna change because of fucking Blueface.
Oh, I know. I'm just going.
It's completely bullshit. But I do have a limited time to record on this thing, and we do have to talk about. This is why I said never talk about making it a short podcast.
Oh, that's what I said. I was not gonna be short because this shit is gonna be hilarious.
Okay.
But anyways, we had to get that off our chest because ignorance is ignorance.
Let's talk about the baby's newest album, "Blame It on Baby." It has him with some like Skepta vibe garb in it. No offense to Skepta, maybe. Actually, no offense to whatever British rapper. He's wearing a mask, and we listened to it so you don't have to. And better yet, we're gonna do a brand new game where I call. I'm going to play the first 10 seconds of it. Sean has to hit the pause button on my computer to tell me when he stops. We're going to do this.
Or like when I stop listening to the album or like...
When you stop listening to the song.
Oh, like, okay, when I first listened to this, when I just stopped. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So let's do Can't Stop and I'll edit this in. You hit the pause button and then you just say whatever you want to. Keep in mind, this is still Nurture Lab.
Oh, genuinely, exactly.
I already broke the rules. So.
Exactly. Everything's for it. Yeah. Bitch, it ain't no stopping no nigga like me. Bitch, it ain't no stopping no nigga like me. Let's go. At that point, I was just like, that's it. Like, I don't give a fuck about this album.
He just stopped him.
I'm like, no, this is terrible. This is all like, no, 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 I'm like, everybody does this. Everyone sounds like this. And then every other song sounds like that. Like, get original, get better. Oh my God, this is terrible. Please, for God's sake, bleep me on that.
fine tooth comb.
Fine tooth comb. This is awful.
It's funny that we just talked about that DaBaby story, which was, we didn't even mention the whole like racist angle about like what like shade of black you are, dark skin versus light skin. But we do have light skin shit featuring Future and Jetson Mode.
That was a good note, because I'm like, light skin shit. Yep.
Yeah. I can't sound this. This fucking sounds like if you're at a rave and you're fucking some of the EDM set equipment, and one of the people there is just like, dude, we're gonna have to call Las Vegas PD. They're the ones who usually fuck the equipment, so we're really used to them. We're gonna need you to actually shut the fuck up and actually start working shit here.
Light skin shit might be one of the worst songs I've ever listened to in my adult life.
Could this be an award winner for worst?
It's so bad. It sounds like someone put a Fisher Price toy up their butt and then had someone put a foxtail anal plug and started trying to hit the notes in it and see what it sound like. That's how bad it is.
Okay, so another person who's like really big in the rap game right now, DaBaby, YoungBoy Never Broke Again. Let's go through this and see what happens.
Okay, let's go, nigga. I was over it by then. I was just like, I can't. Like, just, oh my God. It is, first off, the main thing is not very original. Like, if you're bad, at least be original bad. The fact that, first off, every single beat on the song is exactly the same. Yeah. It is legitimately copy-paste.
I played a vocal game with the audience. I've actually been playing the same three songs ever again. I'm kidding, I haven't, but like it might as well have been.
It is terrible.
So that was the first 4 seconds of Jump. Let's do the first 4 seconds of Nasty. Same tempo, but also kind of terrible.
Yes.
Rockstar. It's a slower thing, but then we go into the actual beat of it, which actually takes a long time to come in. But it's the same duh, 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 duh beat. Like, it's just so...
It's so bland. Every single song does it. But the biggest thing was when we saw him talk to Spotify, he said that, I made sure that every single song I made can be a hit or was going to be a hit. No, you made it some extra way. Every song is going to be a hit of your fucking brain cells because you should go brain dead after listening to this album. If you could actually listen to this album top to bottom and say it's good, you need to like gouge your ears out with a screwdriver and look in the mirror.
All I know is O.J. Simpson's back on the Hennessy. I think it'd be a public service if we gave him a gun, gave him DaBaby's address, and told him to put five... wipe it like jelly. Fucking Yak Teeth inbreds fucking thing, like fucking protesting around every single downtown.
That's how they sound like when they fuck their sister in the butt.
Protesting around every fucking downtown center in crack country. Quick hits.
So we always like to end Audio Face on a fun note, right? So speaking of why we made the arbitrary scale Homestar Runner characters is because the creators of Homestar Runner share 3-volume, 180 song soundtrack. So 20 years, I didn't even realize it was still going on, or like there's 20 years of it. Holy
They're still
shit.
Making cartoons. So like most browsers are making it so you can't use Flash anymore browser because it's a resource hog and it's also really prone to viruses.
Yes.
But Homestar Runner was like a Flash cartoon back when like there was no video on the internet, like before YouTube.
Yes, way before YouTube.
It was like a semi, like a G-rated barely, like cartoon and PG rated barely cartoon about these like random characters. I wanted to say DaBaby's album was Homestar.
Was Homestar?
Homestar.
Homestar. Oh, Homestar. Oh shit.
Yeah.
It's actually really fun.
Anyways, this like Flash cartoon actually end up pumping out a lot of tits. Come On for Hoogwa Gods, which I might use to
play us out. To play us out.
Actually, no, I shouldn't like taint the name that with. No. Let's do it because we just answered an email that was really bad. But yeah, you can listen to it all like on YouTube in a playlist.
for your nostalgic needs, because if you are, especially our age, a lot of people our age watch that shit. That was like the first. That was one of
the. It was like the first Gen Z like web cartoon. Like millennial.
No, I was a millennial. I wouldn't say Gen Z because Gen Z don't know what Sunrunners. They're like, what? You didn't like? I was watching on my iPad.
Anyways, this has.
Audio face, don't follow us. Why am I? Bye.
I don't have any social media.
I see you jocking me, trying to play like you know me. I'm like, come on for hoogle, guys. You say, come on for hoogle, guys. Everybody to the limit. The cheat is to the limit. Everybody come on for hoogle, guys. I say, ooh, ah, for hoogle, guys. I say, ooh, ah, for hoogle, guys. Who's that for hoogle, guys? I say, who is that for hoogle, guys? I don't know who it is, but it probably is for hoogle, guys. I asked my friend Joe. I asked my friend Jake. They said it was for hoogle, guys. I said, come on for Hogwarts, guys. Say, come on for Hogwarts, guys. Who's it to the limit? Say me, I'm to the limit. Everybody come on for Hogwarts, guys. Man, for Hogwarts, guys, you're just making yourself look worse, you know? I mean, everybody's just gonna feel sorry for you. I mean, I do.